Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. On behalf of Pastors David and Nicole Binion, thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church. Now, let's listen to today's message.
Well, good morning.
I'll tell you, if there's any two people that I love, it's these two. Give it up for your pastors.
You know,
they deserve loads of applauses today.
Yes, we love you. And you know what? I've been trying for years to sing with you. Do you think we should start?
Let's do it.
I'll tell you what we'll do. You play, and I'll just prophesy. We will do that. You could stay there if you like.
So let me just say something about these guys.
Yes, please come on over, Pastor.
So last night we had dinner, and I went back to the room. I was talking.
You can be seated, by the way.
Yes, you can sit down. And I said, we pastored now Lord of Hosts Church for a little over 20 years, and I went back and rehearsed the first 2 and 3 years, and I realize what it takes to launch a thing. And it's nothing but sheerly God when it takes off and you accomplish what you have done, only to the glory of God. And just from my heart to yours, congratulations. And I was sitting on the front and I kept thinking about the word too. You know, we all know all the prophetic things that go with the word too. But again, it just comes back to the doubling of God. And I just feel like the Lord is saying, you're going to double and double and double again. Just get ready. This is just the starting block of where you're going. And I just want to make this declaration before Hank preaches. Right now, I decree over this house that the doubling anointing rests upon it in the name of Jesus. And we break any power of the enemy that would come to attempt to abort anything that God has ordained and planned. We prophesy the doubling of heaven. We prophesy angelic reinforcements stand over this house. And we say an easier season shall be upon you in the next 2 years. And the Spirit of the Lord says, watch now what I do as I begin to move you into a fresh place, for in a short time and in only a short while, you will not recognize the place where I am taking you to, says the Lord. You will look back on the first 2 years and go, that was just a small thing. For the Lord says, watch the next 2 years, for I will do a great thing, and then it'll be greater after that. But the Lord says, get ready. You're about to hit the easier button. You're about to hit a place where it'll be heaven taking over, and the plowing season shall be a thing that's behind you. Watch, says the Spirit, for the plowman is about to overtake the reaper, and you're going to reap faster than you can plow. So get ready, says the Lord. The time is upon you to double, double, and double again. Hallelujah.
And the Spirit of the living God says, there are those that have stood when I declared unto you that it was the time to start. It was the time to dwell. It was the time to birth. And yet there were those who mocked, and there were those who shook their fists, and there were others that desired to grab a hold and say, but you belong to us. But the Spirit of God says, you have always belonged to me. And therefore, what I have birthed, what I joined together, the enemy and those who sought to put it asunder did not have their satisfaction. So watch what I do, says the Spirit of God, for I have declared to you the doubling as I spoke to you at this moment. You shall double because of the trouble. But now I shall speak to you in a sequence of 2 years at a time, and you shall see this in the 4 year and in the 6 year of your anniversary. For pay attention, for it shall arise within the middle of the 3rd year, that there shall come something that shall be the manifestation of what you have birthed, what you have prayed for, what you have desired. And God says, there shall be the oil and there shall be the water. And in the natural, they speak and they say, this does not mix. How can this be? But God says, I shall use the oil and I shall use the water to supply and to cause that which shall manifest as you enter into the middle of the 3rd year, and you shall see it happen in the 4th year. God says, and I will show that I have provided. I will show that I have brought it together. For in the season that you are now in, is a time of gathering. It is a time of assembling. It is a time for the foundation to be set. And God says, as the foundation is being set and the people are assembling and the increase and the growth is coming, watch very carefully for what is in a courtyard, what is in a ballroom. It was planned by me, says the Spirit of God, because of the romance, because of the passion, because of the intimacy that you have carried and you have called for me, and I have come and I moved you from a place into this place, that it would be a sign that as you romance me, as you worship me in the court place, the courtroom, the court of meetings, the ballroom of dance and of worship, I shall bring you into the temple of permanent meeting, says the Spirit of God. And there is an inheritance that was given to your father. Are you listening to me, David? And God says, I say this because there is a right of the inheritance of your father, but there is a right to your heavenly father. And even as I gave him keys, and I gave ownership, and I gave influence, and I gave favor, and I set him out where others could see in an open place, this is the promise that was not just for him, but it dwells upon you, and it shall be the manifestation of what I bring. And there will be those who will come, and they will say, we must build with you, we must help you. And the Lord says, I'm causing everything to begin to be put together, but now is the time not to rush the gathering of permanent. Now is not the time to rush a place, the facility of permanent meeting. For God says, I must build the people, for the numbers shall be great, the numbers shall be large, the numbers shall be magnificent. And if you rush it, you will see that you will have trouble along the way. But let me build, and then I will provide and bring forth the place of permanent. And there shall be another road that shall lead from the temple place and the place where this facility shall rest. And God says, it'll be a place where you will also train and you will equip and you will cause others to begin to learn how to know me, to love me, to worship me. And I will gather apostles, I will gather prophets, I will gather evangelists, and I will gather them from around the nation and the nations. And this shall be a thing where even upon the campus they shall dwell. Well, they shall live and they shall move, and my being shall be a part of them. For the Lord says, you are right on time and you are right on schedule. Watch as the mask is removed off the nation, it shall be removed off of my people, and I will show you that there are more that dwell with you and more who are for you than what was against you in the opposition of these first 2 years. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
And the Lord says, I'm pulling out of your spirit what is called the manual of the meeting. For there are writings that shall come out of the both of you, not just by way of song, but things that shall be written to teach the dwelling place. And the Lord says, I'm going to send people alongside to stand with you to help you pull it together. But the Lord says, for the nation is ripe for the entrance into the glory. And the Lord said, you will be two that shall stand together and lead the way. And you will do things to lead the nation into a place of the dwelling place of heaven. For the Lord says, the nation is at the time and the doorway of the harvest. And you will teach leaders in this nation and those in other places how to do it, says the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Give a hand for them. Let's praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Come on. Let's praise God for what he's doing in Dwell Church. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout of praise.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen and amen.
Now, there's a swirling in the spirit. I can feel it over the stage. So just stay close, because I'm hearing God speak to the nation too. Thank you, Lord. Okay. So let's do this, and then let's just flow. Okay, can we do that? Yeah. Well, good morning. How's everybody today? Are you glad that you're in the house of the Lord? Yeah. I'm glad I'm here. It's such an honor to be with you, Pastor David. Brenda, you need to come closer, because I'm getting messed up here. that happens to me. That's where the hardest thing, and you understand, is sometimes God in our church, the Lord will come and he'll prophesy to the nations. How many of you follow our ministry prophetically around the nation? God bless you. Thank you. In fact, it's great to have Ginger here and the prayer team that pray diligently for us. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here. I tell you, you got to have prayer because that's the key and the foundation of everything that you do. But there's times where the Spirit of the Lord will come, you'll speak to the nation, and all of a sudden you have to put on your pastoral hat for a moment and just let people know you're normal too. But we rejoice with what God is doing here. And this is a very amazing time for this church. In fact, God gave me a spiritual dream last night that I'll share with you about kind of an instruction on what the Lord's looking at bringing this church into in your next exciting season. And I remember... we were introduced to David and Cole Binion by Mark Sharona. And I remember I had heard of you before, and we were listening to your music, and but we had not yet met him. And the minute that I met Pastor David and Pastor Nicole, I immediately saw not only a tremendous anointing, but I felt like they were modern-day prophetic psalmists in the earth who... we're carrying one of the most sacred things that you can carry. And it's what I loved about Dante. I'd never heard of him before. I mean, you've probably never heard of me. And that's just the way it goes when you're busy with Jesus. But what a beautiful man that he is. And I love people who have a purity. And he's real. But there's a real, you could feel God come on a man. And that tells you how they live when you have that. And that's what I felt with pastors here. I felt that real anointing, but that real character of who they are as a people. And you are in a safe place. You've got great pastors. You've got great associate ministers, a great team. And you have everything in place that God has assembled together for a great work. And always remember this, when the pattern is right, the glory falls. And that's why in 1 Kings 18, the prophet has to come. And he has to do a prophetic act of putting 12 stones in order because Israel was divided, much like our nation today, where there were 10 tribes to the north and 2 to the south. And the prophet says, no, that's not the way God sees it. God sees it, and he lays out 12 stones, and he put them in order. And all of a sudden, when every stone, because how many know, according to the book of Peter, we are lively stones. And so when they were in order, the fire falls. You fast forward to the book of Acts, and there were 11 apostles because Judas had... hung himself. But once the lot fell upon Matthias, there was the divine prophetic order. Again, when the pattern is right, the glory falls. There were 12 apostles, bam, the fire falls. Why am I saying this to you? Because I'm watching and I looked around at you, and I'm one of these guys, I walk in, I don't say a whole lot, but I can read you. I can read the room, and I'm not saying that arrogant. Please don't receive it as that. It's just part of a grace. I'm not always 100% right. That's not my point. My point is I can see what's going on and I can tell. I've been in churches where they're in trouble. I've been in churches where God shows me things. I'm like, I can't say that, Lord, and I won't say that. But this is a very clean thing. This is a very precious thing that the Lord is doing. And there is a real assembling of some very precious people, very precious gifting, because God is establishing the pattern, because the glory is going to fall in this house in an amazing way. That's why the focus is not on a church building. The focus is on you, the building, right now. And when you establish that, God has got something reserved for you that he said about the oil and the water, which was really interesting. And I feel like there are going to be two financial means that is going to bring a tremendous provision. Or one will be a financial mean, another one will be a natural sign of location. And so keep that in mind as you're on this journey. But I love these two. And I remember sharing, we were out to dinner, and I know you remember this. And I kept looking and I don't like to call them David and Nicole, and I always say this to people, call them Pastor David and Nicole. I don't know how you flow here, but I'm not into titles. I'm into, if you understand Pastor David and Nicole and you call them that, it will help, A, not get familiar, because they're nationally, internationally known. That's the trouble that a lot of people have with our ministry, and they see us as prophet, but they had to see me as pastor. And so I said, look, I'm not into titles, but I don't go to my doctor and call him by a first name. And I don't do that because I trust that if they're going to diagnose something or say something to me, I'm in partnership with them. I'm trusting the grace that's on them. And so I call them Dr. So-and-so. And there is a grace that God wants to pull out of them that goes beyond just David and Nicole, who we love, and how they write songs, how they worship, how they flow, to now they can pastor me. And there is a grace and an anointing on how they can speak and lead me beside still waters and use the rod of protection to protect my life. And so they were with us one time, and I kept seeing, I said, Brenda, the Lord has shown me that he is David, the shepherd. And that God has called him to pastor. And they're going to pastor a mighty, mighty, mighty work in Texas. And God is going to do something with Tennessee. And that's going to be a part. And look at who, where's that? Aren't you from Tennessee? We didn't know any of this. And so you all remember this. And the Lord said, pay attention to this. I'm going to bring it together. And when I bring it together, it's going to cause there to be a birthing of a church and a people. And so I love your pastors. I love the integrity that's on them. I love what God is doing with them. But here's the thing. As you shift in your next foundational season, it takes years to build a church. It really does. Because it takes a people to be part of that foundation. Yeah. It's important that you don't see them as recording artists only, but that you identify, that's my pastor. And I love them, and I receive Pastor David, Pastor Nicole, and I receive. Because, you know, I've learned something. Everybody liked me as a prophet when I would prophesy very specific events that would happen in the earth. But then as I had to call them into my office and say, the Lord is showing me something, and I don't police my people. That's not the point. But I would say, look, I have to speak into you because there's issues. And this is what God is saying that I want to help you with. That's why you're coming to me. They didn't often like it, and they would leave. They liked me to prophesy to other people, other things, as long as I didn't get into their business. Why? Because they didn't receive me truthfully as a pastor. They loved me more as the national and international prophet. And they never crossed over into I'm their pastor. And I noticed that I spent the first few years, David, with people in my church that's what they wanted. They wanted Prophet Kuhneman. They didn't want Pastor Kuhneman. And we went through a lot of turmoil. We went through a lot of hardships. And these people, when they left, they go out lying. They go out angry. They go out loud. They were divisive. At one point, we had like 50 or 70 people leave. You know how horrible that was? We only had about 80 people. And I thought,
we were dinky.
And I said, God, I can't do this. Yeah. And then I reminded the Lord, I didn't ask the pastor. You asked me if I would. And I said, yes, but I'm not a pastor. And then I found out I really was, and I really am. But sometimes you gotta navigate through not only me adjusting in my anointing, so give them grace. Okay? It's not easy to be a national, international, well-known figure and respected, and then come now down and be vulnerable with the people day in, day out, week in, week out. So you have to give them that grace. But we love you, and I can't wait to get into what God has. So, Brenda, why don't
praise
you
the Lord.
Share,
give them one more right just shout.
It. Yeah,
just
give one more shout.
That was so good, that sharing some of our journey to pour into your journey. But real quick, just before Hank preaches, I don't even want to make it really about this, but I think these are some tools that will really help kind of where the body of Christ is right now. We're in an interesting place. But we have other books and stuff we could have brought, but we just wanted to narrow it down prophetically and just bring the most recent things. Hank will talk about his book that releases Tuesday. And in fact, Dwell Church is the very first church. We haven't even gotten the whole stock in at Lord of Hosts up in Omaha yet. It's the very first church that we've brought this book to, and we'll let him talk about that. I am going to say this, and I'm not touting his horn or anything, but Hank has been known to be one of the prophets in the nation who prophesies to governments and presidents. He prophesied all of the presidents I can remember, clear back to Bill Clinton back in the day, to the specificness, I guess that's a word, of even seeing the whole scandal that came out with that, the recount with George W. Bush, when that, how many of you remember that? And he said, I see a 5-4 decision in the Supreme Court. Many people have respected him as that. And so we'll let him talk about, and that's, and I only set that up to say that this book, I feel like, is coming from one of the voices that knows something about the prophetic, the abuses in the prophetic. How many of you have ever seen some abuses in the prophetic? It's one of the most misunderstood gifts in the body of Christ, and he put a, just put together a writing to that end. So I'll let him talk about that. But my latest book called The Daily Decree is a daily devotional. You guys got an endorsement in there. I know. Isn't that so cool? I just feel so proud to have that. But this book has just been a blessing to the body of Christ. It's a daily devotional of prophetic decrees, things that you can speak over your life, over your nation, over your family. If there's anything we need to do right now, the body of Christ has got to get loud. We need to be loud. We got to be louder than the culture. The world doesn't know how to fix the racial divide. Guess where the answer is? It's in the church. But we got to speak to the heavens. We got to speak to the atmosphere. The world doesn't know what to do about COVID-19. But guess what? The body of Christ, we got the answer. We got the word of God. We got the anointing. Come on, we got the power of the Lord of the church upon us. So anyway, get a hold of the Daily Decree. 100 decrees for your life and for your family. And I encourage you to get it.
And I'm so proud of her.
And I'm giving these to the Bennys.
Because I noticed how hard it was for her to write that book. I hardly ever saw her. But she did have it reach number one on Amazon. And I was really happy about that and whatever. Also, I want you to go out and get Ginger's book, by the way, The Blood Speaks. And you can get that on Amazon. I've been really enjoying that, by the way, Ginger. And thank you for praying for us and your team as well. Okay, real fast, I don't want to go because we got to catch a flight. But I want to get as much that I told God. I said, I'm on your time, so you just keep my flight and it'll be good. It was the only one we could get. They're cutting back so many flights and we had to get back. But I wrote a book called Throne Room Prophecy, and here's the thing that I learned. What's the thing we've been arguing about for over 2,000 years? We've been arguing over and making an emphasis out of what John the Beloved saw when he got caught up. And you know what it was? Revelation 4, there was an open door, come up higher, and I'll show you things which must come hereafter. Well, man, we've been arguing and trying to nail down what he was shown that was coming hereafter. Is it post, pre-trib? What does this mean? What does that mean? And I started reading it because, you know, this is the first book that I've written in a few years. I was sharing with Pastor David. I think the last book I wrote, it sold like one copy on the national trade. And I think my mom felt sorry for me, so she bought it. And so I was like, well, I guess I'll write another one. But anyway, they asked me to write a prophetic book, and I did. And it's called Throne Room Prophecy. And I realized that the Apostle John, the thing that mattered to him was not so much the revelation of what he saw or was entrusted. And I think sometimes we get our focus so much on, you know, the prophetic words and the prophetic this and what's going to happen with the election, what's going to happen here and there. And none of that mattered when the Apostle John was caught up with the one who was seated on the throne. And we are entrusted as prophets with one of the most sacred things that you can be trusted with, and it's the heart of God. And this was in 2016. I was walking my dogs. I have now 3 German shepherds. I had 2 then. And it was a really sunny day, and I was in a park, and there was this cloud that was swirling, and it looked like something was on fire. And it began to move towards me. And my 2 German shepherds, they sat down, and they began to look up with piercing eyes like they were seeing something. And as the cloud came closer to me, I fell on my knees right in the middle of this park, and I just began to shake. And I said, Lord, your presence is here. And God spoke to me 4 things out of that cloud that day. And one of the things that he said to me is, he said, you know, many people, and please, I'm not getting into political issues. I'm not getting into what you think, what all of that. I'm just telling you what God said. He said, many are saying right now, you know, that this matters and that matters and this should matter. And I'm not here to contest any of that. But he said, I want to say to my people, does my heart matter? Because if you have God's heart, you will rightfully handle with the right spirit the cultural issues and the political conflicts that are upon a people and a nation. You'll handle it correctly. And so this is a book about what real throne room prophecy is. There's a lot of prophecies that are being circulated right now. And always remember that God operates by agreement, and so does the devil. And if the devil can get people to tap into the second heaven, which is the warfare realm, or the first realm, which is the media, and whatever's being reported, that's what they prophesy, that's what they come into agreement, it can create a lot of confusion. But when prophets turn off that stuff, they don't get caught up in the second realm, they don't get caught up in the cultural warfare and all the stuff, and they spend time with God, they carry the throne room's perspective. And their perspective will always counter and be different than what is happening in the earth. Always remember that as true prophets. So I teach you, what is a true prophet? Can prophets miss it? What is a false prophet? I talk about human filters. Samuel went to the house of Jesse. I got to get this book out of my hands. I'm going to talk about that, and that's not what I'm supposed to do. And he had his human filter. We all talk about how Samuel's words did not fall to the ground, but yet when he went to the house of Jesse, he declared that Eliab was the Lord's anointed, and God didn't honor his word. And the Lord had to correct him and remind him, you're dealing with human filtering of your soul. And man looks at the outer part, but God looks at the heart. And so he had to shift him back into his prophetic understanding. And so a lot of times when you hear prophecies, you have to judge it as how much of a human filter of their soul, their bias is involved in what they're saying. Does that make sense? And so it'll help you to rightfully discern that. But I want you to go ahead and get that book. I'm going to just open my Bible for a minute. Stay tuned. We're gonna have a moment to speak the word of the Lord. Brenda, do you have a microphone in your hand just in case? I want you to open up your Bible real quick to Isaiah 65:8. I just want to share a few thoughts with you, and then we're going to flow. So I'll do it very quickly. I feel very strong. So today I'm not just going to be the teacher. I'm just going to kind of say different things as I feel like I'm supposed to say it to help you as you transition from your second year into now your third. There is something that we are all contending for in the body of Christ. That's why the enemy has fought like hell to shut us up, to shut us in, and to shut us down. How many know that's no secret across America right now? And so I started asking God, I said, God, what is happening? And it was back in September of last year, I was in Atlanta area, and I began to prophesy about that their airports would be shut down, there would have a snow, and there would be something that God would freeze over the nation because the spirit of racism would try to reach a place. And of course, Atlanta is known for, you know, just Martin Luther King Jr. and his right to, you know, call for equality among us all. And so God began to prophesy then about this year and this decade, and he said it would start off harsh. He talked about how there would be pestilence and there would be plagues. And he said this was in 2019. He said this decade would start off harsh, but this is not the promise of what I have declared into this decade. And how it starts off is not how it shall end up and not how it shall continue. So the enemy knows this. He knows that there's some powerful things that's coming upon this decade. And so he's trying to make the emphasis him and all of the craziness that's happening right now. So why is it happening? Because the enemy fears something. And this is what I want to say. Is there a live stream camera? Those of you that have not yet come back to the place of dwelling, what the enemy is afraid of, he's not afraid of the mask. He's not afraid of really a church building. He's afraid of the gathering. He's afraid of the dwelling. And because, again, the enemy works by agreement, so does God. When two or more are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. Because if he can get a people to dwell, to gather together, something is activated out of heaven. Remember what happened in the book of Acts. There was 120 that were dwelling or gathering in the place of the upper room. They were in agreement. What happened? God came and honored their agreement and activated something from heaven. The enemy is afraid, so he tried to shut us down, shut us up, right? Shut us away so that he could stop the power of the gathering, because he knows there's a lot of things that are happening politically and all the other things culturally, that if he can attack the gathering, he can attack what heaven will then honor in the agreement and the gathering, which is a move of heaven. And so Isaiah 65 verse 8, I want you to look here, because as you continue as a church and as you continue in the next phase of where you are coming as a people, this is very important. We are contending for something. There is a great awakening. Matthew 4:16, those that sat in darkness saw a great light. Well, that's an awakening. There are people that are being awakened right now. There's light that comes, and I'm telling you, it's going to expose darkness at a level that is going to shock you. It's going to shock you what is getting ready to happen, the level of exposure and who's going to be exposed. And God has been waiting for this time to do it, because Matthew 4:16, a great light, which speaks of a great awakening, is not only coming to bring a light that has to do with his glory and empowering, but it has to do with a light that will bring exposure. And you're going to see it. And you say, well, why is this happening? Because God said something to me recently. When I was over at Brother Copeland's about a month ago, I wasn't even thinking this. And all of a sudden, I was on a TV, I think we're being interviewed, Brenda. And Spirit of God began to prophesy. And he said, listen to me. Because of the harshness of how this year and how this decade has started, I want to say to you, in 2021, it shall not be known as 2021, like number one, but it shall be 2021, W-O-N. He said, it shall be 2021. You will see that this nation has won, you have won, and I will bring you into victory and into celebration. And there will be what has started off harsh will not be the testimony of our future. But God is looking for something. Isaiah 65:8 says that the new wine is found in the clustering. How many of you have ever seen a cluster of grapes? It's not just the cluster of grapes. It's individual grapes that make up a cluster. It's individuals, you as individuals in this room, individual personalities, individual giftings, individual stories, that when you choose to dwell together in unity, there's an anointing that is released from the head down upon the beard, which is leadership, and it touches you, the body. That's why a woman with issues could touch the bottom of Jesus's garment and her issues stop. Why? When you connect with proper alignment, your issues stop. Because Jesus was mature, and that anointing of his Father had time to get down on his head, down on his beard, and touch all the way down to the bottom of his garments, that when you touch the body or you dwell together as the body, something is released of the anointing of God that stops your issues. And this is what God is bringing you into. There's a calling, and those of you that are online, if you haven't yet assembled, that every single Sunday you need to be faithful to dwell together in unity. Why? Because there's where the new wine is. There's something new that God is bringing. In Acts chapter 2, think about the clustering that took place. There was in Acts 1:14, there was 120 that gathered together, clustering. And notice what they were doing, exactly what you're doing. 80 days. They were praying for 40, 50 days, clustering together. And then all of a sudden, their agreement and their dwelling together and their clustering produced a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. This is why the enemy is trying to interrupt the gathering. He's trying to interrupt the dwelling, because he knows that those who will come together and dwell in unity and in agreement and in love, heaven responds. And the new wine begins to flow. See, we've been between wines. How many remember in John 2, they ran out of wine? Come on, when's the last time you really saw a real move of God? Now, we've tapped into it, but when have you really seen it to the level of what we've read and what we've seen and what God is doing? You know, he said to me when the new year started, he said, look for the RE words. Look for words like revival, reform, reformation, restoration. Restitution. He said, these are all the words that are going to define what I'm doing with this new decade and how I'm beginning to operate. Now, I just want to take you through just a few scriptures here. In Acts chapter 1, notice they were clustering in prayer. If you want to see what it is that God has for you, you have to cluster in prayer. That's Acts 1:14. So I'm going to make these very quick because I want to flow. Acts 1:14. Brenda, why don't you just come up on stage, because I just feel like we need to get ready. Acts 1:14. They continued in one accord prayer. That's clustering prayer. Then there was clustering dedication. Acts 2:42, it said, everyone continued in the apostles' doctrine, prayer, fellowship, and breaking of bread. So there was a clustering prayer, there was a clustering dedication, and now there's a clustering addiction. In 1 Corinthians 16:15, the house of Stephanas, they were addicted to the ministry of the saints. So they had an addiction to serving. an addiction that said, man, we were going to cluster, and their house, their church was known as a place of clustering. And when they clustered together, they were so addicted that they looked for ways to serve one another. There was a clustering giving. In other words, each individual person tithing, that's the grape. Each individual person giving above their tithes. That can be found in Acts 4:32. It said that they were all in one mind and one accord. They were in agreement. And there was not one person that considered the very things that they possessed was their own. And their clustering giving released something, again, from heaven that not one lacked in the whole church. There was a clustering commitment, Acts 2:46. It said that they met both in the temple. Notice the temple was first. And then from home to home. So if you want to have the new wine, you can't just be about the fellowshipping and the social aspect of the church only. You have to come together in what Hebrews 10:25 says, don't neglect the assembling or the clustering together of yourselves. Because that's where the new wine is. And that's how it flows down onto other individual grapes or pieces of that cluster. God is saying to this church that it's time to cluster. It's time to, and you say, well, what about social distancing? Be careful, because what has started off as a pandemic has turned into a scamdemic. And I'm not saying there's not a legitimate virus. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is there has been the enemy's hand that has been on it. And so think about this. And we were talking at dinner last night. If you're familiar with what happened when David, which Amos 9:11 says, we just celebrated 9:11, and I think about Amos 9:11, that the tabernacle of David will be restored in the last days. Okay, not the tabernacle of Moses, the tabernacle of David. And here he had this little tent. He should have died. All those that he invited to worship around that tent should have died, because God, but God didn't allow that, because it was really all about the heart. And yet 6 miles away, in a place called Mount Gibeon, was the tabernacle of Moses, and they were dressing up in their priestly garments, playing church and getting blood on their garments, but there was no ark. That's pre-shut-in. That's where the church was pre-shut-in, playing games. And yet the focus wasn't on God, his presence, him, or even really each other. And so when David brought the presence back, notice 6 miles from the Ark of the Covenant on Mount Zion to where the tabernacle of Moses was 6 miles. Notice what the social distance number is. Notice how many paces. 6 paces. And then the Ark would move. And we have to be careful, because the enemy wants to come in with social distancing and cause us to social distance ourselves from the Spirit of God. Social distance from clustering. And yet God is saying, listen, this is not the time to shut in, shut away, shut up. It's a time for you to gather, to assemble, to speak up, to worship, to dwell together in unity, because there's a great awakening that's going to undo a lot of the stuff that is happening. I want to show you one other scripture. This is Acts chapter 5, verse 12. It says, when they magnified or honored the apostles, then the church grew. There is something that has to happen in about the second and third year of every church. I've been pastoring for 20 years. There has to come a shift from what brought you to what will keep you. Because a honeymoon phase will wear off. And you'll start, if you're not careful, finding fault, having your preferences, things you don't like, things that you prefer. And it could challenge the direction of the vision and the leadership. And so you have to watch that. So it says that the church grew when they magnified or honored the apostles. In other words, there comes a shift in the second and third year where there has to be an honoring that you bring to the shepherds and to the vision, that it's no longer about what brought you, but what's going to keep you there. And no matter what you have, finances, time, come on, you're going to commit to the vision. And so I want to say this last thing, and then we're going to minister here. There are three types of churches that the Bible speaks of in the book of Acts that is very important to how you understand patterns. And right now there is, as it said in Acts chapter 2, there's the Jerusalem church. The Jerusalem church was a very powerful church. It reached to be about 100,000 people at one time. So people that say, well, churches are only supposed to meet in the house, they need to understand that Solomon's temple, these people gathered 100,000 at a time in unity and in agreement. And so what made the Jerusalem church powerful is there were many Jews that were dwelling in Jerusalem. In other words, it was a multiracial, multicultural thing. And Jerusalem church was known for them wanting to dwell in the presence of God. But some churches pre-shutted, they didn't even care about dwelling in the presence of God. But here's where you have to transition. Your foundation and your identity is to dwell in His presence, but it can't be what always defines you or your services. Because if you do that, it'll only be about the Holy Spirit and you. That's what Jerusalem was. But then something began to happen in the Jerusalem expression. They got their touch and they took that touch to the outside streets of their community and began to allow what they were receiving in the Jerusalem dwelling expression and now touch their community. This church, I had a dream last night. And in the dream, I was part of two community outreaches, and God was saying, and I was in your worship service, and the Lord said, no, it's time now, not just to dwell and call in my presence, it's time to take my presence to the streets and the community around you, because I've given you an authority, and I've given you a grace, and I've given you keys. And that's part of the next growth season of this house. Okay, and so what I saw is that we were going door to door. And we were inviting people to come, and we were telling them, watch online, check us out. And I was part of your church. We were telling them, hey, I want you to gather with us. I want you to come. I want you to dwell with us. And then we said, now here's what we're going to do. And this is the second part of the dream. We have rented out a little park. And if you'd like to know more information about us, we are going to have an outdoor concert, where we are going to praise and worship the Lord, and we're going to have things for children. And you guys had the second part of the dream, a huge community outreach that was inviting the community to the anointing that dwells here, but now it was outside, just like the Jerusalem church, in the community, and people were coming. They were coming. They weren't holding back. They were coming. But you can't just have a Jerusalem expression, because how many of you are called Christians here, or you call yourself a Christian? The next shift that takes place in every successful church is not just a Jerusalem dwelling expression, but you have to now move into your community. But then there comes Acts 11. They were first called Christians in Antioch. So now there comes the next phase of what makes you a powerful church, and it's how you're going to shift apostolically. And it's now equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. It's not just coming, I'm getting my fill. No, I'm being equipped. Okay, that requires something beyond the Sunday worship service. It is you coming and listening to pastor here with young adults. It's now bringing your children to youth, and it's allowing the equipping of the saints, the building of disciples. No church can just thrive alone on their Sunday worship experience. This is the admonition I would bring to a lot of the worship leaders that are now pastoring churches. My warning to them is, don't make everything about your worship experience or you're going to miss God. It has to go out into your community, and there has to be a equipping and a discipling and a training so that you can raise up powerful little anointed ones called Christians. But then you can't just stay there. You have to move into the next phase of what you find in the book of Acts. It's called the Ephesus model. And that is nations, regions, territories that you're sending and releasing and equipping. That's all the things that this church is. And so what God is saying at this time is, many of you that can and you feel safe, you need to come and start dwelling here. Whatever it costs, whatever it takes you, there's social distancing, guidelines being followed, but you need to make yourself, no matter what, get to the house of God. And not just on a Sunday, but during the week. Get your tithes there. Remember, the clustering giving, the clustering praying, the clustering serving. And when you do this, you will shift into a whole nother season, and you will see that God is not only bringing you into a beautiful ballroom setting, but there is a place that he has waiting for you that will be your own. But he's building you, the people, first before that building and that place comes into full manifestation. And it's not a negative thing, it's a positive thing. How many are hearing what I'm saying to you? All right, let's begin to worship the Lord. Let's just go ahead and stand on our feet for a moment. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church.